And there's not a better way, in my opinion, of really practicing hermeneutics and so on than talking and discussing and listening and fellowshipping. That's really the best, very best way, I think, to learn. All right, John's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'll just read a verse or two in the interest of time. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. These are the Scriptures that testify of me. I closed my part one of these little studies here with remarks, a brief anecdote, Charles Spurgeon, the famous English preacher, and so I'll begin tonight with repeating that in brief, where one of Spurgeon's young preacher boys asked him, "How was my message?" And Spurgeon said, "Well, there was no Christ in your message." And he said, "Well, Christ was not in the text." And Spurgeon said, "Christ is in every text, and it is your job to find it." Now, in a word, Mr. Spurgeon was saying what I tried to say, and that is that the Bible is a Christocentric book. It is Christ-centered. And I like to say it this way, and this is what I teach our people back in Tennessee. I tell them that the Bible is a hymn book, H-I-M. It is all about Him. He's the grand subject of Scripture. His Spirit inspired the Scripture. He is the Word of Scripture, the living Word, and He is the essence of the written Word. In the words of the Apostle Paul, of Him, through Him, to Him, are all things to whom be glory for Amen. We know that in time past God spake unto the fathers by the prophets, and He hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son language. He has spoken unto us by His Son. Now, we who take the Scriptures seriously, and those of us who lean toward this new covenant position, of course, are going to be branded as exclusivists. I'm sure you know what that means. It means that we just think that there's one way, as Dr. Wellham said tonight, and that is Christ. There are not many ways. There's only one way. He said, "I am the way." Not a way, not a better way, not one of the ways. I'm the way. We'll be invaded, of course, today by foreign gods and goddesses, from Islam to all of the various gods of Buddhism. And we're going to have to, Buddhism, I should say, we're going to have to probably batten down the hatches, as we say in the South, in terms of really exegeting and opening up the Scriptures, showing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme. He is the revealed one of our salvation. So what I'm going to say tonight is going to be a little bit repetitive of what I have already said. I'm reminded of an old story that I think I heard from John Rhys Ingram. I'm not certain. I've heard so many stories over the years. We were talking last night at the restaurant, and they got me started telling stories. And I said after about 30 minutes, "I need to stop talking, let somebody else talk." But I remember John telling a story, I think, of a man in a barber chair. And I don't remember which one was the Christian. I'm going to say tonight that the barber was the Christian. And the barber, as he was trimming the fellow's hair, was talking to him about Christ. And he was talking to him about the Bible. And he got into the area of what we call sovereign grace, and mentioning some of these passages that set forth God and His sovereignty. And the man was having a problem with it, and so the barber says, "Well, look, let me read a passage of Scripture to you without comment." "No comment." "Okay," he said, "sure." He said, "You believe the Bible is the Word of God, don't you?" "Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible is the Word of God." So he read the passage in Ephesians 1, beginning at about verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us." And he went on down through verse 14. And when he finished reading, he said, "Now, do you believe that?" And the man said, "Well, not the way you read it." Well, it reminds me again of one of those people that I mentioned to you last night who said, "Well, look, I don't know much about the Bible, but I know what I believe." Well, the Scriptures exude Christ. And may I say it this way, without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's absolutely no need for the Scriptures. Christ is the essence of Scripture. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made, and the in flesh, and dwelt among us." Christ is the theme of Scripture. Luke 24:47, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself." Christ is the God of Scripture. He said to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad." And the Jews said, "You're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham?" Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Christ is the salvation of Scripture. We just read it, John 5:39. "These are they which testify of me." Christ is the theme of Moses and the law. John 5:46-47. "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Christ is the typical fulfillment of all the types and shadows. I think in his first study, Dr. Kirk mentioned this prophetic word in Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15, and there's only one reference to that, and it is Hosea 11:1. And what that passage tells us, let's just turn over there and look at that really quick. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 13, "When they were departed, the angel of the Lord," speaking of Joseph and Mary, "appeared to them in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Verse 14, "He arose, he took the young child and his mother, and he departed into Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." This is one of the controversial passages in Scripture. But what this tells us, the only reference you can find to this is the Hosea 11:1 passage. And what we learn is that even the nation of Israel must be subordinated to Him and made to typify Him rather than serve as an end in itself. This is speaking of Israel being called out of Egypt, but Matthew is inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that the real fulfillment of this is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all, and He is an all and in all. And what does that mean? Well, I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes and try to tell you. He that has the Son has the Father. He that has the Son has the Spirit. He who has the Son has the truth. He who has the Son has life, that eternal life of the everlasting in Almighty God. He that honors the Son honors the Father. He that honors the Son honors the Spirit. He that knows the Scripture, he who knows the Scripture, knows Christ aright. They are they which testify of me. When our Lord Jesus Christ under the Scripture, you're well aware of the passages there on the way back to Emmaus. He joined two fellows that were going to Emmaus, and they were talking about what had happened in Jerusalem, and their eyes were covered, and they did not know who he was, and he played dumb. They said, haven't you heard about these things? Are you a stranger here? And he said, what things? Well, they said, about this Jesus of Nazareth. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the promised one. And then he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to have entered into his glory? And then it says, and begin at Matthew. No. They didn't have a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have a 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. They didn't have a book of Revelation. Beginning at Moses. And in all the Scriptures, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So Christ is the key that unlocks the mystery of the Scriptures. As I read to you last night, we speak the wisdom of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in a mystery. Christ is a way to God. And Christ is the God who is the way. Christ is the truth of God. And Christ is the God of truth. Christ is the life of God, as well as the God of eternal life. So let me say it this way. First, Christ is all and in all. And that is a passage in Colossians. He talks about there's neither barbarian or male or female, but Christ is all and in all. He's all and in all in the first creation. He was before all things. He is the very wisdom of God. He is the original of all creatures. He's the beginning of the creation of God. He made all things, and without him nothing was made that was made. Not only did he make all things, but by him all things consist. He holds them together. He's the glue, as it were, who keeps things together. He holds the stars, the moon, the sun, in their orbits. He made all things by the word of his power. He has the disposing of all things. People, time, circumstances, event, space, history, all is by his good pleasure. By him, kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers reign. All power, all authority in heaven and earth are his. He has the keys of death and hell. He sets up and he pulls down. He shuts and no man can open and no man can shut. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, saying to him, what doest thou? He is the heir of all things. Ask of me. And two, I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all the earth. He's Lord of heaven. He's Lord of hell. He's not just the king. He's the king of all creation. He's not just the Lord. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's not just the Savior who redeemed man after the fall. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Son of God. He's the all and in all. And he's the all in the new creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we know that there's another creation we're concerned with. That's that new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know all about Christophanies and Theophanies, you know, the appearances of God in the Old Testament. And I believe that every appearance of God before the incarnation of Christ is an appearance of God in the second person of the Godhead. I do not believe that God has ever made himself known by any means except through the second person of the Godhead, whether pre-incarnate or after that. So all appearances of God are of necessity an appearance of the second person of the Godhead. He's the substance of all the shadows He's Zechariah's branch. He's the surety of Jacob. He's the lion of Judah. He's the water from the rock. He's Rahab's scarlet thread. He's Ezekiel's wheel and a wheel. He's the true vine. He's the faithful witness. He's the precious cornerstone and sure foundation. He's the Passover lamb. He's the wonderful counselor and the mighty God and the everlasting Father. He's Isaiah's root of Jesse. He's Israel's rock. He's the bread of Moses. He's Aaron's rod that budded. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's Solomon's apple tree. He's Malachi's messenger of the covenant. He's the pearl of great price. He's the Isaac who was sacrificed. He's all in all in everything. He's all in all in reconciliation. He has reconciled us unto God by Himself. He's all in all in the satisfaction and payments of our debts. He was made sin. He who knew no sin, that we who are nothing but sin might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He's all in all in justification. He is the Lord our righteousness. He's all in all in the election of God. He's the root of it. He's the elector, and He's the elect one. He's the sum of it. We're chosen in Him, by Him, and for Him, and then given to Him. And He's the cause of it. But for His glory, if it were not for His glory, there'd be no reason to save us. Father, glorify Thyself with the glory which I had with Thee before the foundation of the world. Isn't that what He says in John chapter 17? He's all in all in spiritual vocation. He's the one who's called every one of these men and women into the ministry, called us and saved us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace given us in Himself before the foundation of the world. He's all in all in our salvation. There's not salvation in any other. He's all in all in our sanctification. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's all in all in our conversion. He begets us by His Word, and He is the Word. None of us can say, know the Lord, for all know the Lord who are in this covenant with Him. He's all in all in the pardon of sin. He just did. He calls us to it. He gives the hand of faith to receive it. And He pardons for His own name's sake. He's all in all in the mystery of the Word. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And He's all in all in the ordinances. Baptism tells forth His death and His burial and His resurrection, which is the gospel and wherein lies our hope. The Lord's Supper speaks of His broken body and His shed blood, His love for us, His suffering for us. Prayer. Well, we have to pray and ask in His name. Ask by the help of His Spirit, and we must ask for His glory. And then He has to make our prayers acceptable before they're received. He's all in all in the gospel. Are you sick? He's the great physician. Are you poor? He's our riches. Are you weary? He's our rest. Are you in trouble? He's our helper. Are you weak? Well, He's our strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly when we were without strength, He says. Are you restless? He's our peace. Are you lost? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Are you undone? Christ is our Savior. Do we need wisdom? Well, He's the Word of God incarnate. Christ in the Scriptures? I believe Christ is the Scriptures, written so plainly that a fool might not err therein. He said, without Me, you can do nothing. May I add, without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we know nothing aright. No man knows the Father but the Son. And He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. And where is He revealed? Well, He's revealed in the Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He's the giver of my faith. He is the object of my faith. He's the sustainer of my faith. He is the finisher, teleates, the perfecter of my faith. I'm complete in Him. I have love in Christ. He's the blessed hope. I have righteousness in Christ. He is my righteousness. And how do I know these things? Very simply, the Scriptures. Christ, in all the Scriptures, teaches me of Himself. He has expounded unto me in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I have searched the Scriptures, and I can say that they testify of Him. Now, I purposely began this study to be brief tonight because I knew that we're getting on to the week and we would all be a little weary and a little tired. Let me quote to you again from Spurgeon. These were the first words in the pulpit of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and most of you know these words, and this is what he says. I would propose that the subject of the ministry of this house, as long as this platform shall stand, and as long as this house shall be frequented by worshipers, shall be the person of Jesus Christ. I am never ashamed to avow myself a Calvinist. I do not hesitate to take the name of Baptist. But if I am asked what is my creed, I reply, it is Jesus Christ. My venerated predecessor, Dr. Gill, has left a theological heritage admirable and excellent in its way. But the legacy to which I would pin and bind myself forever, God helping me, is Jesus Christ, who is the arm and the substance of the gospel, who is in himself all theology, the incarnation of every precious truth. Amen. I would like to say that I would like to have all of us imitate Rebecca. You remember Rebecca, the wife of Isaac? You remember Abraham sent his servant out to find a bride for his son? And he went back to his home country. And there he prayed, Lord, bless me on my way, and that I might do the errand of my master. And he stopped and he prayed specifically. And he said, Lord, let the woman that waters the camels and receives me and all of the other things, he said, be the one that you've picked out. And a few minutes, Rebecca came up and she did all of those things. And the man was so overwhelmed, he fell to his knees and he prayed and he thanked the Lord. And you know the story of how he went to the house of Laban and he told him all about his master. Not Laban. I've got Laban and Jacob mixed up here. He went to the house, and the question was asked of Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? Genesis chapter 24. Now, when Rebekah agreed to go, she had not seen this person, just like we haven't. We worship and love him whom we have not seen. One day we'll see him face to face. And then we shall know him even as also now we are known. But let me tell you this. I've learned as I read the Bible sometime to read the white spaces, read in between the lines. And I believe that as they were on the way back, in that long journey, I think each night when they would camp, Rebecca would say to the servant, tell me about him again. Tell me some more about him. What did you say about him? Oh, I want to hear more about him. I don't want us to get to the place like ancient Israel was, the manna that came down and said, we're tired of this manna. Christ is the manna. He said, your fathers did eat the manna, and this is the true manna. And they got tired of it. Let's not get tired of going again and again to the cross, presenting Christ as forthrightly as we can, as honestly as we can, in as much compassion as we can, but let us not fail to present our Lord Jesus Christ. He must be presented. I believe the most biblical way of teaching, and as I said this last night, and maybe these other brethren, some of you might agree and some might not, but, you know, when you teach through books of the Bible, you have to consider every verse. You can't just pick on pet doctrines. And everybody who's there has to consider every verse, and so they can't accuse you of throwing rocks at them. It takes a lot more study that way, but I think that's the best way to teach it. And when you do that, always try to look for Christ, as our brother did tonight. He did a wonderful job of actually opening up what those passages say and showing us Christ as he did that. So let's imitate Rebekah, the wife of Isaac. Let's always be asking about our Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's ask about him, because without him, what do we have? We have nothing. Have you ever heard this song? I entered once a home of care. Age and poverty were there, yet peace and joy with all. I asked the lonely mother whence her helpless widowhood's defense. She told me, Christ is all. Christ is all in all. She told me, Christ is all. I saw the martyr at the stake. The flames could not his courage shake, nor death his soul appall. I asked him whence his strength was given. He looked triumphantly to heaven, and he cried, Christ is all. Christ is all in all. He told me, Christ is all. Come to Christ, oh come today. The Father, Son, and Spirit say, and the bride repeats the call. For he will cleanse your guilty stains. His love will soothe your weary pains. And you'll know that Christ is all. Christ is all in all. You'll know that Christ is all. Let us pray. Our Father, we call upon you in the name of him who's everything. He's all and in all. We thank you that these men this week have exalted him and taught us about him and revealed him from your precious word. We want to know the truth, and we know that all truth is embodied in him. We're thankful that you've shown us just a little bit of the revelation of your mind and will in your word. And again tonight, I pray for this school. Pray for the Toronto Baptist Seminary up in Canada, that you'll guide Dr. Kirk there as he guides that school, Dr. Long here, Dr. Gilliland, Dr. Frank, and all of those who labor here, Dr. Joe. We pray, Father, that you'll give them wisdom, that you'll give them zeal, and then in all of our getting, in all of our studying, and all of our theologizing, we may never forget that Christ is all. And when we come to the last breath that we draw in this world, he'll be the only thing that matters. He'll be the only one that matters. It won't be what we know, it'll be who we know. And Lord, we want to join our voices with Paul. I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our all and in all, and for his sake. Amen.